A very good Thursday to you. This program is brought to you by Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans. Rocket Mortgage is with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. All right, then. Nice to have you here. Lots to get done today. Welcome to the program. I've got three interviews, and they start coming up next segment, so let me lay this out for you very quickly. I will start with your telephone number like I do every single day. That phone number never changes. It is toll-free. We have hundreds of radio stations. Lots of people find the show in different ways. We have a TV network with a simulcast. So if you would like to participate, here is the number that you want to call. That number is 1-800-636-8686. Once again, 1-800-636-8686. Same phone number as it's been for a number of years. Now, if you want to participate on social media, I would encourage that too. Social media at Jim Rome. Rome is R-O-M-E. At Jim Rome. You can email the program at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. I have Twitter, I have Instagram, I've got a Facebook page, all the various platforms, and you know this. Coming up next segment, I've got a conversation with a 2021 NFL Hall of Fame finalist, Torrey Holt. Coming up next hour, the interim WBC lightweight champ, Ryan Garcia. It is a super wild card weekend. Joining us in hour number three, a defensive tackle with the Saints, Cam Hayward. I have a podcast, which I pushed out yesterday, episode 157 of the Jim Rome podcast is with Steve Tasker. I've got a preview of that, which I will have for you a little bit later on as well. So the show sets up like that in the way of interviews and formatics. In terms of content and where I'm going to start today, you know, I've said this before, and I will say it once again. This is a sports show. And you probably know by now that when I say something like that, when I start this program by saying this is a sports show, then I'm about to talk about something that is not sports related. Because while this is in fact a sports show, I do take pride in the fact that it's not an ignorant show. Sure, there might be room for some dopes at certain times, but this is not an ignorant show. And I know that some of you are not going to want to hear what I'm about to say. I know that your reaction is going to be that this is why you come here, to get away from this sort of thing. I understand that. I do. I get that. But you cannot ignore it. And I would challenge some of you to consider why you don't want to hear about this. Why exactly is that? The United States Capitol, the seat of our government, was breached. And you want to ignore that. You just want to move on. As a nation, we were attacked. Barriers were stormed. Police officers were attacked. Terrorists with zip ties were spotted in the halls of Congress. They managed to do what no enemy of America has been able to do in more than 200 years. Yet you would rather talk about Bradley Beal going for 60 last night. Like, there's absolutely no way that the morning after terrorists stormed the United States Capitol in an attempted coup, that I'm going to start the show by talking about Tom Brady and Chase Young. I'll get to that. I will absolutely get to that later on. But when a group attacks the United States Capitol, that's going to lead the show. Just so we're clear, I don't want to be talking about this. I'd rather be talking about the New York Knicks. I'm not here to talk politics. You know this. But what happened yesterday is not politics. What happened yesterday is terrorism. I mean, pure and simple. And before you push back on that, the FBI defines terrorism as, quote, violent criminal acts committed by individuals and/or groups to further ideological goals stemming from domestic influences such as those of a political, religious, social, racial, or environmental nature. End of quote. And that's what happened yesterday. And if you have an issue with the word being applied to what happened, I suggest maybe you take a long look in the mirror, because that's what that was. And if your resistance to using that word is because they were largely white and wearing red, white, and blue, I would suggest you think about that as well. Just because they were chanting USA, USA, does not mean that they were doing anything in the name of America. You don't storm the United States Capitol and attempt to disrupt democracy in the name of America. If you were to swap out yesterday's terrorists for people with foreign accents or a different skin color, you might be tempted to call it terrorism. And then you might be thinking that it was one of the worst days in American history. I would suggest that you do not make any attempt at a false equivalency with protest. And you sure as hell better not be drawing comparisons between demonstrations against racist police violence over the summer and what happened yesterday. Don't do that. The protests over the summer were demonstrations against racist police violence. It was about protecting lives. Yesterday was not a protest. Protest is normal. Protest is good. Protest is encouraged. Nothing about violently storming the United States Capitol is normal or good, and it should not be treated as such. There should be no attempts to justify what happened. You see, language is important. Language matters because it tells you something about the country. If you saw what happened yesterday and you want to call that a protest, consider why you're doing that. As an example, Draymond Green made that very point last night after the Warriors game.
It just goes to show the policing system was built against black people, you know, black and brown people. And that's the reason those reactions are different. That's the reason someone can walk or run or bust their way through or whatever into the Speaker of the House office and put their feet on the desk like they're sitting at home on their couch. You know, storming into a building and busting out windows and carrying podiums and all that other stuff, that's not a protest. That's a terrorist attack. And so stop describing those people the same way you describe someone who just stand there and make a chant and say, we want justice, we want peace. Stop using the same word. It's disrespectful. It's ridiculous. And it's shameful, you know, to keep calling them protesters. Not protesters. They're terrorists.
And if you were wringing your hands about looters breaking windows at a Target over the summer, man, I sure as hell hope you're raging about terrorists destroying and looting the U.S. Capitol. If you were calling me over the summer angry about somebody looting a store, I hope you're on the phone to your elected officials demanding accountability and justice as well. And if some of your elected officials are the ones who are inciting this, I hope that you're lighting up their phone lines too. Because again, those weren't protesters. They were violent terrorists who breached the U.S. Capitol. They attacked police officers. They destroyed property. They stormed the office of the Speaker of the House. Members of Congress had to be evacuated. Again, if a terrorist organization from another country had tried something like that, they would be thrilled with the results. So don't come in here and call them protests or say that yesterday was in any way normal. According to reports, multiple pipe bombs were discovered, as were Molotov cocktails, numerous firearms. In other words, as horrible as yesterday was, as big of a stain as that was on American history, it could have been so much worse. And some folks showed up looking to make it much worse. And if you want to compare this to what happened over the summer, if you can't see that two different Americas actually exist, Kevin Love has got a few thoughts as well. He tweeted, quote, "An absolute disgrace what's happening at the U.S. Capitol right now, and a blatant example of inequity in how law enforcement chooses to deal with those involved," end quote. Boston Celtic Jaylen Brown expanded on that theme when he spoke with the media yesterday.
Before we get started, you know, we definitely want to speak to some of the things that's been going on in our society. It reminds me of what Dr. Martin Luther King has said, that there is two split different Americas. In one America, you get killed by sleeping in your car, selling cigarettes, or playing in your backyard. And in another America, you get to storm the Capitol, and no tear gas, no massive arrests, none of that. So I think it's obvious. It's 2021. I don't think anything has changed. We want to still acknowledge that. We want to still push for the change that we're looking for. But as of yet, we have not seen it. We want to continue to keep conversations alive and do our part.
It's Jaylen Brown. In the meantime, Doc Rivers also weighed in.
You know, when you saw the protests in the summer and you saw the riots, or more the police and the National Guard and the Army, and then you see this and you saw nothing, you know, it basically proves the point about a privileged life, you know, in a lot of ways. You know, I'll say it because I don't think a lot of people want to. Could you imagine today if those were all Black people storming the Capitol and what would have happened? You know, so that to me is a picture that's worth a thousand words for all of us to see, and probably something for us to reckon with again. You know, no police dogs turning on people, no billy clubs hitting people, people peacefully being escorted out of the Capitol. So it shows that you can disperse a crowd peacefully, I guess, would be the one thing.
That's Doc Rivers. So what we witnessed yesterday was an attack on democracy. It's an attack on America. It's not normal. It's not right. It needs to be talked about. It can't be ignored. And once again, just so I'm clear, I don't want to be talking about this. And I know a lot of you come here so you don't have to hear this or talk about it. And I'm not going to make the entire show about it. And if we can have a responsible conversation about it, we will. But there was no way that I was going to start the show and not address that. If you would like to react and we can have a responsible discussion, let's go ahead and do so. Telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. You know where to find me on social media as well, at Jim Rome. Again, coming up next segment, a 2021 NFL Hall of Fame finalist, Torrey Holt. We'll talk some boxing with Ryan Garcia coming up next hour. Steelers defensive lineman Cam Hayward coming up in hour number three. And I want to preview the Steve Tasker podcast. That's coming up too. Stay tuned.
You're listening to The Jim Rome Show.
Going to talk to a 2021 NFL fame, Hall of Fame finalist, Torrey Holt. I want to reiterate, Cam Hayward, of course, is a Steeler. Steelers and Browns, key matchup. That game is still on right now, and I'm sure that game will come off, and we'll get into that in hour number three. And my phone lines are open. You know, again, coming off that show open, again, I want to make it very clear. This is a sports talk show, and that is not something I want to talk about. That certainly is not something I want to talk about, but it's certainly not something that I can ignore. It's a sports talk show, but it's not an ignorant talk show. Some quick reaction as I effort Torrey Holt. Adam in Rip City says, quote, once again, thank you. Listener since 98. Dear Jim, thank you for discussing the horrific events in D.C., yes, I know that you don't want to have to lead your show with such a take, but I'm grateful that you realize that with a large microphone comes a responsibility to speak out about the wrongs of our society. Mike and KC. And Mike's right about that. That's not the way I want to start the show. Are you kidding me? On a week like this, with the wildcard weekend coming up, and you've got a double triple header. And nothing would make me happier than to be hyping these games. And I will talk about the games. I will get there. That was not what I wanted to do. I never wanted to do that. This says, this is from Paul Stewart. Bring it, Jim. Dropping uncut knowledge. You know, again, not really. It was a terrible day. It was a terrible thing. That was an attack on democracy. That was not a protest. 143C1 tweets, what we witnessed yesterday were the police at the U.S. Capitol taking selfies with these domestic terrorists. That's jacked up. End of tweet. That was taking place. You're right. And it is jacked up. You're right about that. This is from New York. Jim Rome. Excellent show open. Don't change or let the stick to sports people get to you. Keep up the great work. Signed, Jim Daly. All right, telephone number is toll free, 1-800-636-8686. As promised, we are joined right now by a Super Bowl champion. He is a 7-time Pro Bowler, 6 straight seasons of 1,300 yards or more. He finished his NFL career with 920 receptions, 13,382 yards, 74 touchdowns. A member of the NFL's All-Decade Team of the 2000s. He was an ACC Player of the Year. He was a consensus All-American at NC State. Already a member of the College Football Hall of Fame Class of 2019, he is a finalist. Once again, for the Pro Football Hall of Fame, he is Torrey Holt. Torrey, it's good to have you back. How are you, Torrey?
Good, Jim. How are you? Happy New Year, bro. And look, man, I need to you need to go in and present me, bro. That was nice. I appreciate it.
Oh, my man. I might take you up on that, Torrey. In fact, I will take you up on that. Listen, the finalists for the Hall of Fame class were announced once again. You are again there. What was your reaction to hearing that news this time around?
Super cool, man. It's always exciting. It's hard, Jim. It's hard, you know. And I'm not a first ballot guy, right? So I'm a second time finalist. And what I'm learning each time, each year, is tough. And I heard Mr. Baker talking this morning on NFL radio, and he was talking about the process and how tough it is and how difficult it is. And it is. So I respect the process. I'm enjoying it. I learn something new every year. I feel like I'm getting closer and closer each year. So it's just a matter of, again, the voters. You know, really considering it, a strong consideration, and then make the right vote who they feel like is Hall of Fame worthy. And hopefully my name is called this year and I can get over the top.
We're talking to Torrey Holt. Torrey, I happen to see it that way myself. I feel like, at least from where I'm sitting, it's a matter of time before you get in. But, I mean, you started to touch on this, but what's it like for you? I mean, does it feel like it's only a matter of time before you get in?
I feel that way. I do. I feel like, you know, and it's funny because the last few years that I've been talking to, you know, Mr. Baker, each year I've talked to him, I've just felt like last year I got close. I was the finalist. This year, again, spoke to him. I'm a finalist again in the conversation and what I'm hearing and what he feels he's hearing about the process and how the voters think of me, again, makes me feel confident that I'm one step away. So, again, hopefully we get enough of the voters feeling the same way. But, again, I'm humbled. I'm thankful, and I enjoyed last year, Jim, again, being in the room with Hall of Famers and just hearing, watching them, how they conversate and interact with each other, the stories, the how they're being honored. I said to myself, I want to be a part of that, and I'm right there. I'm knocking at the door, so hopefully I'll get the knock at the door sometime soon.
We are talking to Torrey Holt. You know, Torrey, I had Jared Allen on the program yesterday. He's another finalist. And we were talking about whether or not the Hall of Fame was a goal when he was a player. I'm curious, when did you first start thinking about the Hall of Fame as a goal? Was it something you had in your head when you were playing, or was that not on your mind at all?
No, you know, it was probably, I would say my last year when I was in Jacksonville and I went back and watched the broadcast. And I heard one of the broadcasters mention my name in regards to Hall of Fame. It's kind of when it started to dawn in me a little bit. Hey, but maybe that could be possible, but not to the point where I put all of my energy into that. I wanted to, again, stay healthy and get back out on the football field and continue playing a game that I love and love to compete. But now that I'm retired and I really have had the chance to evaluate my career, my teammates and coaches and my journey and experience, being a part of the National Football League, and even before that, man, I had a heck of a run, and I enjoyed every part of it. I hope my teammates and my coaches enjoyed working with me. I enjoyed working with them, winning championships, doing things on the individual level that's Hall of Fame worthy. I was associated with that, and then doing it with guys too, Jim. I think the beauty part of it is what I'm also enjoying as well is the guys that I see like Rondé Barber now. I played against Rondé. Ask Rondé if I'm a Hall of Famer. Calvin Johnson, John Lynch. I played against John Lynch. Ask John Lynch if I'm a Hall of Fame worthy. But I'm watching these guys now get an opportunity to possibly don the gold jacket. That, to me, is really cool. And then Isaac and Orlando and Marshall and Kurt, my teammates that are also Hall of Famers, You know, that's a hell of a journey, man. So we'll see, bro. We'll see.
It is a hell of a journey. Torrey Holtz joining us. He's a finalist for the Pro Football Hall of Fame. Torrey, when you mention your teammates, I'm kind of curious. Like, you played with so many great players. There are a number of guys from that offense that are already in the Hall of Fame. When you look back, did you have any idea how special that team was and that collection of talent at that time? Or were you so locked in on winning and the task in front of you that you didn't even realize how amazing that group was?
No, I knew we were special because I watched a lot of those guys when they were in college. What I couldn't understand was why weren't they winning? I didn't understand that when I got to St. Louis and I saw the talent and I knew a lot of the guys watching from past, and it's like, man, these guys, we can win. And then once we put it together, and then I really saw what I already thought was in terms of how special they were, and I saw it firsthand. I was like, whoa, I'm a part of something really special. I got to make sure that I stay on top of my game so I can stay on par with those guys. So that's what I was introduced to. That was the bar that was set for me early on, and I worked my ass off to try to maintain it and carry it on.
All right, so I don't want to get too far ahead of myself, Torrey, but you are a member of the class, and what that would mean is if you get in, you would actually go in the same weekend as Isaac Bruce, who's a member of last year's class, but their induction was postponed due to COVID. What would that mean to you, and have you allowed yourself to think about how special that would be?
Oh, my goodness, that would be amazing. You know, I spent last year in Florida again as a finalist and trying to get in, and Isaac was on that ticket as well, and he got in. So spending time with him afterwards and just talking about the experience and our games and how we worked together, man. It was, you know, Isaac and I, we didn't say a lot, but we understood what was expected. And we challenged each other on a day-to-day basis. Heck, all of our receivers, we all challenged each other. But watching him do it on a day-to-day basis and now seeing that he's a Hall of Famer and I'm right there behind him. I mean, look, I consider Isaac and I one of the best duos in the National Football League history. So to be able to go be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame as a bookend with my homie would be fantastic. And I think St. Louis would love it. I think L.A. would love it. I think the whole Rams Nation would love it. And I think the National Football League, those that watched us play in the era in which we played, I think would appreciate and respect the fact that we'll both get a chance to be inducted into the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Agreed. Torrey Holt joining me for a few more moments. You know, Torrey, like Jared Allen, I always appreciate the fact that you're not afraid to hype today's players. In fact, I had a conversation yesterday on a podcast with Steve Tasker, and Tasker was talking about how the great Bills teams of the 90s absolutely love what they're seeing from the Bills this year. I love guys who play the game that can respect what they're seeing right now. I'm curious, who are some of the receivers playing today that you respect, you admire, that you watch?
Oh, my gosh. Well, I'll start on the collegiate level. Devontae Smith is incredible, the Heisman Trophy winner. Phenomenal, can take over games, can win games, can beat you in a return game, can beat you deep across the field, got hands, good route runner, plays special teams. He's really good. Devontae Adams is just tremendous. You're talking about a scoring machine at the receiver position. Devontae Adams with Aaron Rodgers is just incredible. Love the way he works his routes, being a bigger guy, but his ability to get open and consistently get open, giving Aaron the targets every single time, is just tough to deal with. He's one. B-Hop, obviously, out in Arizona. Cooper Kupp and my boys, Robert Woods, and out in L.A. Come on now. I mean, you're talking about in the run game, blocking, run after the catch, route running, beat you deep, beat you running the knee, particularly Coop. Those are some guys that come to mind, and others. Calvin Ridley down in Atlanta, the young boy down in Atlanta. Jefferson, the young kid in Minnesota. I mean, I can go on and on. Jim, but we have, I'll say this, the receiver position is in good shape. I'll say that. Going forward, our receiver position, I think, is in good shape. And we got some guys still coming from the collegiate ranks that's going to push the guys that are in there now.
We're talking to Torrey Holt. You know, really quickly, before you go, you mentioned Ram Nation, Torrey. So you've got Jared Goff, and he's trying to work his way back from surgery on that right thumb. Torrey, I'm curious, if you're Sean McVay, how do you go about approaching the decision when it comes to which quarterback to start in Seattle on Saturday? How do you think he's processing that?
Yeah, I mean, I think he'll continue to look at them throughout the week of practice and how both are performing. How's Jared feeling after? Is there any soreness, any tightness? Even during practice, are balls fluttery? Are balls not getting there? From what I heard yesterday, he looked pretty good throwing the football. And from what I saw, he looked pretty good throwing the football. Heck, even after he dislocated the thumb, Jim, and he popped it back in. Jared Goff is tough, too, by the way. popped it back in, he threw a – I think he completed a ball. So I think he can play through that. It's just a matter of how healthy is he, how secure are they with him in terms of managing that ball. It's cold out in Seattle, Jim. It's cold. Jared doesn't have the biggest of hands, and he's coming in with a broke thumb. That will give me some concern. But if my QB1 tells me he's ready, he's showing me throughout the week that he's ready. He's processing information. He looks to be healthy. Mentally, he seems to be in a good place. I'm going to give him an opportunity to go out and play. With that defense playing at a championship level, Rams quarterbacks don't turn the football over. Run the ball as best they can. Make plays on the perimeter. Move in the chains. They give themselves a chance to go into Seattle and win. We played in 2003, I think it was, or four. We played Seattle three times. Beat them all three times that year. These teams are meeting again for the third time. We know the history between these clubs. The confidence is coming out of L.A., going out to Seattle should be what it is. It's going to be a great matchup.
And we know these two teams know each other really, really well. He is a Super Bowl champion. He is a seven-time Pro Bowler. And Torrey, I don't want to jinx it. I got a really good feeling about this. We'll find out soon enough. Congrats on being a finalist once again. And I always appreciate the conversation, Torrey. Thanks so much.
Thank you, Jim. And congratulations, too. Can I say this lastly? Congratulations to all of the finalists for this Pro Football Hall of Fame class of 2021. All guys are very well deserving. Congrats, fellas.
No doubt.
Jim.
You got it. Torrey, thanks so much. Good luck. And I know you and I will talk again soon. I've got a really good feeling about that. Look, he's getting in. Torrey Holt is getting in no matter what. It's just a matter of when. Whether or not it's this time or not remains to be seen. But he is definitely getting in. I know that to be true. My thanks to Torrey Holt. He put up amazing numbers. I don't want to bring this up, but can you imagine if he played today? I mean, the numbers. 920 receptions for his career, over 13,000 yards, 74 touchdowns. Can you imagine if he played today with today's offense and today's rules, the numbers that he would put up? All right, so my thanks to Torrey Holt. Still ahead. Let's talk some boxing next hour. Ryan Garcia will be joining us. Cam Hayward coming up in hour number three. I do want to talk about Chase Young and Tom Brady. People are trying to make a thing out of Chase Young saying, I want Tom. I want to play Tom. And trying to make that a thing. Trust me, that's not a thing. If Tom Brady were to think that's a thing, then he's not the guy we think he is. I've got that coming up, too. You have your telephone number. You know where to find me. Hit me up on Twitter at Jim Rome. Email me at Rome, R-O-M-E, at haveatake.com. Right now, it's time for a sports update. Here is the latest.
Live from Southern California, this is the Jim Rome Show on CBS Sports Radio.
So, all that said, it is an NFL wildcard weekend, a super wildcard weekend. And there is a wildcard playoff doubleheader on CBS beginning on Saturday with an AFC clash. Then on Sunday at 4:30 Eastern, 1:30 Pacific, things get even wilder when CBS and Nickelodeon team up for a special presentation of a Game 2. Check your local listings for games and times. This weekend, the NFL Wild Card is on CBS and on Nick. And I will make an appearance on CBS on Saturday, not Sunday. Programming note, Saturday, not Sunday. My views from Rome, Saturday morning. So I'm looking forward to that. Suited and booted from Southern California for the Super Wildcard Weekend. I love the matchups. Speaking of the matchups, I'll bring in the Big Head at Big Head Bets, James Kelly, tomorrow. I got to get with the Big Head. I wonder if he's going to go big. I wonder if that head is going to go big and take a shot at all the games or only some of the games. We've not discussed it yet. I know the Big Head is extremely proud of his 60% accuracy rate. Hey, Head. Oh, check that. 62. Check that. 64. Hey, Head, you got to put yourself out there sometimes. You more so than you normally do. Wildcard weekend. Some really interesting matchups. So I definitely want to get into that. 1-800-636-8686. We're in the midst of a pandemic, so when you look around, and just a quick preview of this topic, you look around and there's certain industries that have been absolutely hammered, absolutely hammered during the pandemic. And then you've got other industries and recreations that somehow, some way have benefited from the pandemic. Golf being one of those things. The number of people playing golf is higher now than it's ever been, at least in the past year. And that's during the pandemic. And if you think about that, that's not that far-fetched. That's not hard to figure out. But I want to break down those numbers and lay that out for you. Now, as I mentioned, in terms of the matchups, after Doug Peterson and Nate Sudfeld, I mean the Washington football team, finished off the Eagles on Sunday night. The football team itself was fired up and had every right to be. They deserve to be. I mean, they were dead in the water a few weeks back, and now they're division champs. And not only are they in, they're hosting a playoff game. I interrupt that thought because my phone's blowing up. Like, there must be something wrong, right? Somebody's looking for me. So I'm looking over at my phone. Somebody's looking for me. Something must be wrong. Oh, it's James Kelly wanting to make sure that I know that he hit 64% accurate. Yeah, I know, Head. I said that. Hey, Head, are you like 3 minutes behind on your stream? You did hear me correct myself, right, Head? I gave you credit, Head. 64. Come on, man. Yeah, I got an idea. What do you say you actually come to work physically here, and that way you can hear the show in real time, and you would have known that I corrected myself in real time? Head? I'm trying to talk about one of the games that I'm going to ask you to pick. Head? All right, so the Washington football team, they came off that field fired up. And they should, because as I mentioned, they were dead in the water a few weeks back. And not only are they in, but they're hosting a playoff game. And not only are they hosting a playoff game, they're hosting the Bucks on Saturday night. You know what that means? Tom Brady is coming to their house. So when rookie stud Chase Young left the field on Sunday, he made it really clear he was fired up for that opportunity.
Tom Brady, I'm coming. I want Tom. I want Tom.
All right, quote, Tom Brady. Tom Brady, I'm coming. I want Tom. I want Tom. So obviously, the moment that clip surfaced, the bulletin board material alarm went off like a foghorn. Like, oh, hell no. He just went there. The rookie just said Tom Brady's name, and now Brady is going to come out and absolutely light him and them up. Man, how screwed is the Washington football team now? Why the hell would you ever poke that bear? Check that. Why the hell would you ever poke the goat? The hell was Chase Young thinking anyway? Way to go, Chase. Way to wreck everything that you and your team have worked so hard for. Nice going, Chaser. Or so went the thinking. So, Young has a chance to sleep on that. He meets with the media yesterday, and everybody wondered whether or not he was going to walk that back. The question was whether or not he regretted what he said. Would he, in fact, walk it back? And the rookie showed up, and he handled it like a 10-year vet.
I play ball. I'm excited to go against the best. You know, the media, that's their job, you know, to stir it up, make it a big story, full game. They needed something. They needed to get something. So, They chose that. But, you know, if you know me, my team knows me, I'm excited for every game. And Tom Brady, you think I'm not going to be excited to play against the GOAT? Then you tripping. And that is what it is. I'm excited to play against Big Tom. I'm not going to apologize for saying I want Tom. No, I want Tom Brady. I want every quarterback I play against. So, yeah, that's how I'm going.
Damn right. Damn right you tripping. Damn right you tripping. If you've got a problem with Chase Young saying that he wants Tom Brady, man, you got a problem with yourself, and you're tripping. Of course he wants Brady. You are tripping. Why wouldn't he want Brady? What, should he be chanting for Daniel Jones? Should the guy be asking for Chad Henne? Come on, man. If you're a competitor, you want to go against the best. To be the man, you got to beat the man. Of course it would be easier for him to face a team that somehow had Chad Henne as their quarterback. but the best wants to face the best. Of course, Chase wants Tom. You want to face the GOAT in the playoffs, not a slug like Henny or somebody else. Man, I love the fact that Young did not apologize. I love the fact that this guy didn't back down. I love the fact that this guy didn't walk it back. In fact, I would have lost so much respect for him if he had come out after the fact and said, yeah, you know what? You know what? I got carried away. I got carried away in the moment. I'm really sorry about that, Mr. Brady. I'm really sorry about that, Big Tom. I really am. Please accept my apology, Tom. Please take it easy on me, Tom. I didn't mean that. I didn't mean any of that. No, he meant that. Of course he meant that. And there was nothing wrong with that. In fact, it's awesome. If you think that Chase Young screwed up by calling out Tom Brady, man, keep moving. I know Tom Brady is a fuel guy. Most of the greats are. Most of the greats take things personally. I've got no issue with that. I mean, the guy is a fuel guy. But if you think that he's going to find a new gear because Chase Young was caught on camera saying his name, to quote Chase Young, you tripping.
Are you tripping?
And why don't we talk about bulletin board material for a minute? This whole notion of bulletin board material, does it even exist? I got a better question. Do bulletin boards even exist? Like, physically, is there such a thing as a bulletin board? I mean, what? You really think that Bruce Arians is printing off a transcript of that video, cutting off the excess paper and walking it into the Bucks locker room in Tampa, taking out a thumbtack and posting up the text of it on a bulletin board? Yeah, I'm going to say no chance. I'm going to say that's not happening. I'll tell you what they are probably doing. They're probably going to spend more time focusing on how to game plan against Chase Young than they are anything innocuous this guy happened to say running off the field after a big win. And if you're expecting Tom Brady to take the alleged bait and come firing back at Chase Young, as always, you were begging.
You know, he's obviously a great young player. So, you know, we got our hands full with that D-line, one of the best D-lines in the league. So Chase is a great young player. He went to Ohio State, so naturally I think the Ohio State-Michigan thing wears off on him a little bit. I understand that. But we're prepared for, you know, a tough challenge. And should be a fun game.
Standard operating procedure regarding Brady. Never says anything about anything, yet somehow manages to work in an extremely lame joke. Hey, Pops, one piece of advice. Given how your alma mater has gotten its brains beaten in repeatedly during that alleged rivalry, I'd maybe steer clear of that for now. Hey, just know this. If chasing a seventh ring and trying to jam that up the hood's ass wasn't motivation enough for this guy, and he actually just got some additional motivation from a video of a rookie geeked to go up against him in his first ever NFL playoff game, then this dude's not the GOAT that everybody's making him out to be. Washington is not in more trouble because of what Chase Young said. No, they're up against it. They're up against it because they're facing a team with a ton of weapons and a quarterback who might be the GOAT, who's got a ton of playoff experience, who is desperate to win another ring. Chase Young saying Tom Brady's name doesn't change any of that. And by the way, is that how low the bar is now? Is that what qualifies as trash talk and smack talk these days? I mean, is that now what trash talk is? If that's the case, man, we have fallen hard. We have fallen hard. If that's the case, we need to bring back some of the legends. Because Chase Young saying, I want Tom, is nothing compared to Ray Buchanan teeing off on Shannon Sharp before the Super Bowl back in the day. Remember Ray Buchanan? Remember Ray said, quote, Shannon can always win because he can talk. But Shannon looks like a horse. I'll tell you, that is an ugly dude. You can't tell me he doesn't look like Mr. Ed. End of quote. That's Ray Buchanan. Now that's trash talk before a big playoff game, or in that case, the Super Bowl. And Ray was only getting started.
Shannon think he's pretty. He think he's pretty in the face. He might have a body, though. Everybody look at his body be like, ooh, Shannon. But I'm telling you what, man, if you got a grill like that, man, total reconstruction.
Ray Buchanan's like, oh, he's got a body now. He's got a body now. But if you've got a grill like that, I'm talking total reconstruction. So you want to talk about bulletin board material. You want to talk about smack talk. Now that's trash talk. That was bulletin board material back when there were actually bulletin boards. Chase Young saying that he wants Tom Brady is just announcing who he's facing next. Not a damn thing to see here. Nothing to see here. Keep moving. 1-800-636-8686. All right, coming up next hour, we've got an open segment at the very top. If you want to jump in here, go ahead and do so. After that, I've got the interim WBC lightweight champion, Ryan Garcia. So we talk a lot of MMA on this program, but I am still an old school boxing guy. To me, it's not one or the other. I love both sports. Ryan Garcia joins me in hour number two. Cam Hayward. The Steelers lost to the Browns last week, but that was the second team. They will be mostly at full strength. Cam Hayward joins us in hour number three. Bills Nation, Bills Mafia. Had a conversation yesterday with Steve Tasker, which was tremendous. I want to give you a taste and a preview of that, and we will do so as well. All of that still ahead. 1 hour down, 2 hours still to come. I am live. I'm in Southern California. I am Jim Rome. Do not go anywhere, and we will come right back.